Good morning, everyone. It's fascinating to see how many people are here. I'm delighted. Thank you. I started into Overeaters Anonymous when I was 66 years old, and I have been. I tried many things before that, but that's when I officially became an overeater. I mean, an Overeater Anonymous. I'm going to start by just telling a little bit about my history. I started as a child in a family where fat was a four-letter word. It was very, my mother was very concerned about her weight, and eventually when she died, she was over 200 pounds, but when she was younger, she was very slim and very pretty. My sister and my brother were both skinny. I always felt like the odd duck because I was not built like them. And I always felt heavy, even as a kid. I can remember feeling heavy. One of the things that in my life, I had tried everything. I've been on every weight loss program, and I was very successful. I've lost 100 pounds twice. I mean, that's pretty successful. But the weight issue and the emotional havoc that came along with that just got worse and worse and worse as I got older. And I never imagined there was a solution. When I walked into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, I was convinced that this was going to be another failure for me. And I started out in a very small group of Overeaters Anonymous, and there were not very many people, and there was very little abstinence. My sponsor was not abstinent, and so I stayed there for about six months, and didn't become abstinent. But I knew I couldn't give up yet, and I discovered some other meetings where there was lots of abstinence, and that made a huge difference for me because it gave me hope. I knew that it was possible. And even at the age of 66, when you think, you know, it's over, you know, there's no way you're going to be able to do it. You haven't done it in 66 years. You're not going to be able to do it now. But I did it. And I didn't do it alone. That is the beauty of this program, is that we all are connected with one another. I have so many women in my life now that I never would have had in my life before. And I have very close friends, very emotionally close friends, whereas in the past I had mostly companions. And that's such a difference that the program has made for me. So let me tell you a little bit about my history. When I was a child, I had these two skinny siblings and myself. And as a little girl, I don't think I really thought about it very much. But as I became 12-ish, my mother was obsessed with her weight and did everything imaginable to try to keep her weight down. So I noticed that about her. I loved her cooking. I ate everything that she put in front of me, but I wasn't heavy then. You know, I was fairly normal-sized. I can remember the first time I realized that maybe I was heavy was when a neighbor came over, and she and my mother were talking, and she found out that I wore a size 12 bathing suit. And I was 14 at the time and developed, you know, which is unusual for a 14-year-old. Anyway, she made a comment about, well, you're really much more like my daughter than like Lori is. And it just hit me that somebody was commenting on the fact that I was heavy. Anyway, so from that time on, I think I became much more conscious of it. At the same time, my mother was on her umpty-umpth diet, and this time it was with diet pills. The doctor had put her on diet pills. And she went to the doctor and said, would you put my daughter on the diet pills? And the doctor did, 14 years old. And I loved the feeling of the amphetamine. That was marvelous. And I lost lots of weight. I mean, it was really, it really worked. Fortunately, I didn't get hooked, but I know so many people who do, and I know the neighbor across the street who started us on the diet pills. She became very severely addicted. So that was, and I've had a history of dieting. You name it, I've done it. And often I lost weight and, you know, got down to a normal weight, but instantly I started again. And in my case, I became bulimic. And that was the way that I struggled with my weight. And it was a horrible, horrible disease because you're so ashamed. I was so ashamed and kept it secret. I didn't think anybody knew. I was married for 10 years before I told my husband. And I remember I hemmed and I hawed and, God, I don't know how to tell you this. And he was looking really panicked. And so finally I blurted it out. And he looked at me and he said, oh, thank God, I thought you were having an affair. So he was the absolute best thing that ever happened to me in my life. I was married to him for 50 years, and I lost him a year ago. And it's very traumatic, but without this program, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you. I don't know what I would be doing because he was such an important part of my life. So here, and as an elderly person, I can't imagine that I really am, but as an elderly person, I think about the fact that I'm really at the best point in my life other than the trauma that I've experienced. But in terms of who I am and how I feel about myself, and the fact that I've been able to maintain my weight for, it's been 6 years now that I've been abstinent, is a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. And the most important thing, I really was afraid of people. I was very frightened of people. And I would spend, I was a consummate people pleaser. So I would always try to figure out what you wanted, and try to give you that so that I wasn't authentic at all. And I was always failing because most of the time I guess strong. And I'm just so grateful that the OA program had so many aspects to it that helped me overcome those crazy thoughts and those crazy feelings. I'm still afraid of people. You know, you don't get over that overnight, but I'm much, much, much less afraid. And that is such a joy. So let me tell you a little bit about the history. I want to pass around some pictures. I didn't think this many people would come, so it's going to take a while for them to get around. But I have pictures of myself when I was a teenager and thought I was obese. I have a picture of myself when I was obese. I once weighed 256 pounds. And before that, when I lost 100 pounds, I had just about cleared 200. And now I weigh 134. And I've maintained it for the 6 years. So I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life. It's just an absolute miracle to me. So I want to tell you a little bit about my past. I grew up in a family. My father was a World War II veteran. He had been severely injured in the war, almost died, had two Purple Hearts. He was shot twice. And yet he talked about it. You know, how many other people wouldn't talk about it? He, in some ways, he was fortunate in that each time he was in battle, he got shot and didn't get killed. Because he ended up in a hospital for a long time, twice. So he survived the war. The second time, he came very good. He got last rites. He became very, very, very close to dying. But he did survive it. My childhood with him, he was a wonderful father. He loved walking in the woods, and I still have a tremendous love of nature, mostly because of him. He was very, very kind and very loving and very, very willing to have a little kid along with him. He got a little more uncomfortable with me when I became a teenager, and that was hard for me. It made me more self-conscious of my body and my becoming womanly, because he kind of backed away from me at that point. And I didn't know why. Since a psychologist has said, well, you know, fathers feel uncomfortable when their daughters begin to look like women, you know, and they feel like they should be the good fathers, you know, not the fathers who molest their children, but he was just kind of keeping his distance. And but it was hard for me because he was my go-to person in my life. My mother, on the other hand, suffered from severe depression, and she was a mean depressive. She would get really angry and hostile and say things to me like, "You look fat," as I'm going out the door to a friend's birthday party. Or I can remember on an Easter Sunday, it was all in my cute little hat and, you know, the whole nine yards. And she said, "You look ugly," as I was walking out the door. So her depression came out in those kinds of comments. And I look back on it now and I think, number one, I love my mother. And I loved her back then. But she was sick. She had a mental illness that was a very severe form of depression. Finally, in our 50s, my sister and I, maybe 40s, my sister and I both confronted her at the same time, unbeknownst to each other. And I told her that I was not going to come home and be treated that way anymore. And terrified of her committing suicide, because that was always my fear. And then my sister at the same time said, "You're not welcome to come to the wedding," her wedding. And it was enough. Now, my mother cut off people in her life. She didn't talk to her mother for 10 years. She didn't talk to her brothers for 10 years. And even after that, it was touch and go. So I really thought, number one, she might commit suicide. And then number two, I may never see her again. Fortunately, she did get help. And I'm so thankful for that, because she really was a wonderful person. She, you know, she just was sick. And in the last few years of her life, I was able to be with her. She ended up with breast cancer and died at the age of 62. But I'm so glad that during that period of time, we were very close. At the end, she told me that I had helped her so much through her cancer. And I carried that gift with me that she gave me. So back to the bulimia and the compulsive overeater. It is definitely a progressive disease. And even though I didn't find OA until my 60s, I want to tell everybody in this room that it's never too late. It is never too late. And I wouldn't have believed that. I walked into those rooms thinking, oh, well, here's another, you know, I'll lose some weight and that'll be the end of it. And the program turned out to be so much more than I ever imagined. I'm a psychologist by training, so a lot of us who go into psychology had wacky families. And when I walked into the program, I really thought that this, you know, was going to be another meal plan, another diet. And it has been so much more for me. And it keeps giving. When I first came in, it was all about listening to the speakers and the other people in the rooms. And now, probably the greatest gift I've gotten from this program is all of that negative self-talk I used to do. Negative, negative, negative. It was horrible how much I beat myself up verbally and mentally. That now, I'll give you an example. I was just in Japan with relatives on a trip, and we were at the airport, and I was exhausted, and I had gotten COVID somewhere during the cruise. Anyway, so I wasn't feeling well, and we had finally gotten to the front of this enormous line, and there were the ticket person came out, and she said, "Is there anybody in line who has an earlier flight and is worried about catching their flight?" And all these people came up and got in front of us. And I remembered turning to my brother-in-law and saying, but, you know, this is ridiculous, you know. And really very, very unfortunate that I still have that streak in me. But he turned to me and he said, well, if I was going to miss my flight, I'd really appreciate having all these people. So, number one, in the past, I would have just felt so guilty and so embarrassed. And instead, I looked at him and I said, you're right. I'm just tired and irritable. And I didn't beat myself up. What a miracle. And that, for me, is probably the biggest miracle of this program. It's the first time in my life that I've been able to walk through life recognizing when I do something stupid or something that I'm not proud of, but don't feel like I'm a terrible person. I'm awful. I feel like, well, that was a dumb thing to do. But it no longer resonates in my mind as I'm a bad person. And I wish I'd found it earlier. There's no question. But I am having the best time in my life right now. And the shocking thing is that I lost this man that I met when I was 14 and was God's gift to me. He was so kind, so special, always supported me, always had my back. And when I think about what I would be like right now had I not had O Readers Anonymous in my life, I'd be a basket case. And I'm not a basket case. Well, some people think I am, but but I'm less of one than I would have been otherwise. And I'm so grateful for that because I have a different view of life, a completely different view of life. I don't beat myself up the way I used to. That's the biggest gift of this program, is I recognize my flaws. I absolutely recognize them. And when they come up, I'll go, oh, boy, there you go again. But I don't hate myself the way I used to. I don't feel like I'm an unworthy person the way I used to. And for that, I'm so eternally grateful. So let me tell you a little bit about my history as a progressive overeater. First of all, my father hated fat people. And there was no question but that fat was the four-letter word in our family. So I always grew up with that feeling. Plus, Twiggy came along. You know, what happened to Marilyn Monroe when I was growing up? She would have been a much better role model for me. But Twiggy came along. Everybody was suddenly skinny, skinny, skinny. And I was not built like that. The other thing is, did I tell you that I weighed 256 pounds once? So I'd gain 20 pounds and lose it, 30 pounds and lose it. But I never had gotten to the point that I was that heavy. And I was in a job I hated, but anyway, my dad was my person in my life up until adolescence, and Bob took over, my husband took over that role, and was the guy that was with me. But when my mother started all of these crazy diets to try to lose weight, she ended up on diet pills. And she talked to the doctor and asked him if he'd put me on them. And so I went on diet pills at the age of 14, and I loved it. I mean, oh boy, that speed in the diet pills. Woohoo! I was thrilled to be on diet pills, but I was 14 years old. I mean, what message does that give to a child? I was a child at that time. My mother had always been beautiful, and yet she started gaining weight and getting heavier and heavier. And when she died, I'm sure she weighed over 200 pounds. And she died young. She had breast cancer and died when she was 58. So that was very tragic. My sister and my brother were both skinny. They took after my dad's side of the family. And so even though I wasn't abnormally large as a child, I was definitely bigger than they were. And my father was very clear about not liking fat people. I remember one of the last things he said to me when he was in the hospital dying was he put his hand on mine and he said, "I know you'll lose the weight." One of the very last things he said to me, that it was such an important, it was so important what I looked like, what I was like. I was lucky in that I found the church, 20 minutes, thank you. I found the church when I was about 12, 13 years old and started to go to a meeting. I could walk down from, I guess I was 14, I could walk down from the high school to the convent, and the nuns held this meeting, and they were wonderful. They were other mothers to me, and I'm so grateful that I found them. And so my relationship with God. Okay, God. Okay. I think he's just pointing out that I have a relationship with him. Anyways, but that relationship with him has sustained me my whole life. But not until I got into OA do I have a more compassionate relationship with God. I still saw God as a judge. You know, that he was he loved me, I knew he loved me, but he was also disappointed in me. And, but I finally in OA have found a different God. I mean, it's the same guy, but he just is so much more loving, so much more caring, and so much less judgmental than I considered him when I was younger. I was raised, I won't tell you what religion, but I was raised in a religion that was more of a sinner and, you know, that kind of thing. So I think I told you at the age of 14 I started diet pills. But so church really was a godsend for me, literally. And then also school was. I happened to be one of those very good students, and so my teachers were also just a tremendous support. I feel for those little girls out there that don't have anybody in their lives that tell them there's something good about them. And I was lucky that way, that I at least had the church, the sisters, and my teachers. When I got out of college, I was a public health nurse, and I loved it. Yeah, hi. And I loved being a public health nurse. I'd go into people's homes, and little old ladies, and I am one now, but I'd listen to their hearts, and I'd listen to their lungs if they had congestive heart failure, and I just, and they adored me. They did. I had more knitted, crocheted, orange and lime green hats. But I loved being a public health nurse. It didn't pay anything. And so I went back to school and got a doctorate and ended up in a career I hated. And looking back on that, if there was one thing I would change in my life, it's that I would have stuck with what I really, truly loved to do. So I went back to school, and that was good because school was where I got a lot of my positive reinforcement. But it wasn't, it's unfortunately that it led me into a career that I wasn't that good at, and that I didn't, it was stressful because I ended up in sales. I started out as a psychologist and ended up in sales. So when I look at my recovery, I think about there's a physical recovery, there's an emotional recovery, and there's a spiritual recovery. My physical recovery, obviously, I've lost the weight. You know, I now weigh a normal weight for my size, and that is such a gift of the program because I can, at the age of, how old did I say? Well, 73 next month. I can, you know, I can go on hikes. In fact, when we were in Japan, we climbed up to a temple, and it was 2,225 steps. And I did it. And, I mean, there was a little huffing and puffing, but it wasn't anything like it would have been when I was 30. So that's truly, truly a gift. Emotionally is the biggest thing, and so I'm going to talk about that. I was always a people pleaser, and I'm looking around the room, and I have a feeling I'm not alone in this. I was a people pleaser who never felt like she pleased anybody, but I worked at it, and I was exhausted all the time working at it. And I'd be one way with you, and I'd be a different way with you, because I tried to figure, like with my mother, I tried to figure out what was going to make you happy that day. And I was always up in the air because I wasn't me. I was all these other faces that I put on. What was amazing about the steps, and I keep learning, the gift of this program is that you don't get it the first time you go through it. And that's okay, because you get what you can at the time, and then if you stick with it, you learn more and more and more. And the biggest thing for me is I was so self-critical. It was always, I wasn't doing enough, I wasn't doing it right, I wasn't, I made myself miserable, I made myself sick, and that's where the bulimia came in. I think the throwing up wasn't just about getting rid of the food, it was also getting rid of all those pent-up feelings that I couldn't deal with. And I'm not bulimic anymore. Did the pictures all go around, by the way? Okay, good. Oh, they're going. Okay, so you know that I definitely had a weight problem. And but I would focus on, I would dwell on the things that I did wrong, or I would dwell on the negative look I would get from somebody in a meeting, or dwell on the person at church who had a bad day and so they were nasty. And it was always, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I feel, why can't I get this right? But nowadays, now that I've really taken a look at my character defects and really explored them, I am so much more comfortable when they show up saying, God, here I go again. Would you please help me with this? And instead of just dwelling on it and hating myself for it, I can forgive myself. And I not just forgive myself, I can accept myself that, so you did it again. It's not something that you have to feel bad about for the rest of your life. So the character defects, when I first heard the word, I thought, ugh, I don't want to know about my character defects. But when I found out about them and I realized how much they ruined my life, and how much my feelings about them were ruining my life, it was such a blessing to finally put a name to that people-pleasing part of me, that getting angry when I recognize something negative, being overly upset when somebody was not nice to me. All of those things started to fall into place, and I recognized them for the first time in my life. And that was such a beautiful thing, because then I could do something about them. And I wasn't alone. I could say, God, here I go again. Could you please help me with this situation? Because I just don't have all of the skills yet to know how to deal with it. And God is always there. When I was talking about losing my husband really was my God for a lot of years. He was so accepting of me, loved me. Even when I was 256 pounds, he loved me. And he just was the kindest man I think I've ever known in my life. Ever. He was like my father, but beyond that. he was just so loving and so caring. And I know I was incredibly blessed to find him at the ripe old age of 14 and to have him in my life for all those years. But I had to somehow, during the program, I had to learn to turn to God. And even though God was always in my life, I really thought of him as something distant and not really concerned about me. He had the whole world to be worried about. Why would he care?
Yes. So much noise out here. Could you use the mic?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it better? I'm sorry. Thank you for bringing that up. So I was so concerned and worried about who I was and how bad I was. And when he died, I thought, I don't have that person in my life who cares for me, thinks well of me, is there for me, is not critical of me. I can't imagine surviving this loss without OA. Because with OA, I have all these people, Carol over there, she's knitting for the homeless. She does scarves for the homeless. She's just one of those people with a really big heart. David in the back's in my group. I just am so grateful for all of the support and love that I have now in my life. So, yes, it's been awful losing my husband. And I cry and I miss him every day. And every time I try to deal with one of the financial things that I do not understand, I say, why'd you leave this with me? But I'm surviving. I haven't crawled into a hole. I haven't just pulled a blanket over my head. And I'm just, I can't tell you how grateful I am for the OA program. And how much time do we have left?
6 minutes.
6 minutes before it's time for them? Okay, before it's time to end. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Okay, I want anybody in the audience who has a question or, yes, back here.
There's going to be 10 more minutes
after that, but I'm going to turn it over to questions. Yes, please.
Hi,
Lisa Ann.
I heard you share many times this morning about that you were able to not have that self-critical voice in your head beating you up anymore. And I wondered if you could share any more about how that was able to go away, or is there something, replacing it, or what was the solution? I think I know. Yeah. I want to hear more about that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Boy, that's a good question, because honestly, that's the biggest gift that I've gotten from this program. And I think going through, when I first said I'm doing my fourth step, I thought I was so busy in my career that I felt like I neglected my children. And one of them really developed an alcohol problem, and there were lots of issues. He's a wonderful man, has his own company now, is raising two adorable children, but there was a very rough period, and it was all my fault. So there's a good example of it. And what the program changes, I went through a lot of that during my fourth step. And when I came out the other end of it, it wasn't like I magically forgave myself, but I was at a point where I could look at myself and say, you are a human being. You are not God. You are not perfect. And for the first time in my life, I said, that's okay. That's okay. And I think if I hadn't gone through the fourth and fifth step, and I've gone through them several times, I wouldn't have realized that. And I had a wonderful sponsor who wouldn't let me get away with just glossing over things. And I still have her. And she helped me to really look at, and she would call me on things. And I remember thinking, well, who are you? But I am so grateful to her now, because she made me look at those things that I was doing that were hurting me and that were causing problems in my life. And the beating myself up was the worst of them. No, it's not that I don't recognize the mistakes I made, but I don't hate myself for them anymore. So it really, going through the steps are such an important part of this program. And having a sponsor who's willing to hold your feet to the fire are the two biggest gifts that I've gotten. Mm-hmm. Who else? Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Could you tell us what your bio was? How did you...
Oh, God, yes. I can't believe I've left that out. The reason that I came into the program, you know, people will say, you're 66 years old, you're bulimic, you're throwing up every day, going to a grocery store, going inside, buying all sorts of crap, going out in the car, finding a private-ish parking place, eating it all, and then throwing up on your way home. That was my bottom. And it, I mean, talk about a very, very severely damaged overeater, compulsive overeater. That was me. I never in a million years knew, thought there would be a cure. I didn't know what bulimia was. I was learning to become a psychologist, and one of the interns had come to our class to talk, and he said, I just learned about this really weird disease in our, at the mental health center today. So there wasn't really even a name for it before that. And he started describing it, and my face must have turned 20 shades of purple. I was so embarrassed and kept thinking, don't let anybody see it. So I lived in so many years in absolute hiding from everybody. So it wasn't just that, it was all those other things that were character defects, but it was such a severe disease. I mean, I do have health issues because of it. There's no question that it was not a kind thing to do to my body. But I was at the point, finally, where I was retired, I had time to devote to taking care of myself, and I was severely sick, very sick. And, you know, anybody who has experienced bulimia, and I started when I was 20, so I did it for many, many years. And I'd have periods. I lost 100 pounds twice. So, and I probably have lost 1,000 pounds in my life because I was constantly dieting. I was either bulimic or dieting. And my body was showing it. I was gaining the weight back. I was huffing and puffing going upstairs. When I describe how I climbed those 2,250 steps, it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. So I knew there had to be something out there that could help me. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I thought, okay, here's another chance to get away from that for a while. I did not realize what this program was going to mean to me. And it didn't come right away. You know, I think that's the other thing. The it's never too late doesn't just mean age. It also means those of us who struggle to become abstinent, and when we first walk into the rooms and say, gosh, everybody else is abstinent, why can't I get there? Don't give up. It's amazing when that one thing that will strike at you and say, okay, it's time. And for me, it was forgiving myself. It was realizing that I was worth it. I was worth working on, and I'm so grateful. Yes?
How did you find your way?
I knew about it. I mean, being a psychologist, I knew about AA and Narcotics Anonymous and all of that. But for some reason, and I still don't understand this, maybe God was telling me, I never even thought of OA. And I think for me, God knew I wasn't ready. And when it was time and I said, I was desperate, then it was the last thing that I hadn't tried. So when I found the program, and I'm so grateful to God again for when I was in the smaller group and there was no abstinence in the group, I didn't give up. Because, again, somebody mentioned, well, you know, there's a Monday evening meeting And there's a lot of abstinence in that meeting. And I got to the room, and it was full of people. And it was very shortly afterwards. And the other thing that happened, and for all of you, you know there's a time when somebody says something and it just clicks. I was in a meeting, and I was feeling so bad about myself. And I had this one addiction, food, that I could not go past a store without turning in and buying some. And even while I was sitting there in the meeting, I was thinking of stopping on my way home to get this poison. And instead, this one woman commented to, I felt she was talking to me. I don't think she was. I think she was talking to somebody else. But she was talking about you can't keep, how did she put it? It was kind of negative, but it was in a way that said, you've got to stop making excuses, basically, was the message. And it, you know, again, God, and put this woman in that room to say that on the way home was the first time I didn't buy that food. So, you know, it was just that it appealed to that stubborn side of myself that you can't tell me. And I'm so grateful that I was there for that. Yes.
Linda, thanks so much for sharing. Did you, I'm so curious about abstinence driving the weight loss. So did you develop an abstinence definition and it led you to drop your weight? Or did you drive your weight off while you were trying to figure out what abstinence is?
Okay. I wasn't losing weight when I first came into the room. I had probably regained 40 pounds. And I knew it was just going to keep going because that was my history. So I didn't stop when I was stopping and buying that binge food. For those of you who don't know anything about it, you don't lose weight when you're bulimic. It's very unusual. Maybe in the beginning you do, but once you become a chronic bulimic, it doesn't work. That for that reason. It doesn't work for a lot of reasons. But so that was part of my desire, was to lose the weight. In fact, that was probably my main desire when I walked into the rooms. But it wasn't until I got the message that from this person who said, oh, stop feeling sorry for yourself. And, you know, it wasn't, and she didn't say it that negatively, but that's what I heard. And I was, well, you can't tell me. You know, that stubborn side of myself came out, and I didn't buy the food on my way home. And that was the beginning of my abstinence. It's crazy when you think about it, but I'm so grateful to her. So, but I did lose 40 pounds initially, and I haven't weighed 130 pounds since I was a teenager. So it's miraculous. Who else? Yes.
Do you have a daily practice, and if so, what would you share?
Very good point. Yes, I do. My sponsor has asked me, I have to do some readings every day, and it doesn't have to just be in the daily readings, although I usually do that too. But I will look. We have so many books in OA, and I will look for a message, and I'll read until I find that message. And then I don't know if you all know about the journal that we have, the Region 1 journal, and I fill that out for her every day, and I mail it to her, and I meet with her once a week. So I definitely have a program. And without, I also pray. I use meditation, especially if I've had a bad day or if I'm really frightened about something like taxes or whatever else I'm trying to deal with. I will go. Anybody have Alexa in their house? It's that little machine that talks to you. And she always gives me a meditation that will just help me to calm down.
Two and a half minutes.
All right. Does anybody have a burning question? Okay. Yes.
So where do you find my Zoom?
Yeah, I am happy to give out my information. How do I do that? Can I just tell you now? I can give you my.
Yeah,
Okay.